And we want to read a few verses this afternoon to get back in to our subject here. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's begin reading with verse 13. No, that's not the one I'm... You might know, no, verse 11 is the verse I want. Verse 11, not 13. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is, he gave gifts to men in his church. And he gives some examples of the gifts that he gave in giving apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Verse 14, that we henceforth, no, I didn't read verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our verses that we've been dealing with now, 14 through 16. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Last week, as we began looking at verses 14 through 16, we considered the fact that we are to be no more children. That is, members of the Lord's church, His body, the body of Christ, the church, is not to be children. They're not to be a child. Each one of us members are not to be children. That's not to say that each one of us in our spiritual growth and endeavor are at varying degrees, varying stages of learning. But nonetheless, we should have left, as Paul said in the book of Hebrews, we should have left the first principles, the first essentials, the gospel and all that. And we ought to be moving on to greater and better things. There's more meat in the word than just whereby we were saved. Grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But, he said, some have need that they continue to be taught that, continue to be milk fed. It ought not to be, he said. And it ought not to be today as well. So we were to be no more children. We were to go on from that infant stage and go on and to maturity. Because a child, he said, is apt to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We looked at that along with those thoughts. But also a trait is that we're going to deal with today is by the sleight of men. That is typical of children. They're tossed to and fro and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive. You see, they're easily deceived. That word sleight, it had to do with find this interesting. Dice rollers. Dice players. Because dice players were notorious for defrauding their group out of funds. So the word has to do with deception. Deceit. By the deceit, deceitfulness of men and cunning craftiness. Boy, there's some that are very cunning. Deceitful. And they lie in wait to deceive, to get you. Those who are still a child, still children, still an infant. Oh, they're easy prey for the deceivers. They're easy prey for those that are full of trickery and that are, shall we say, of smooth speech. Boy, our world is full of them. There's many charlatans, many deceivers, many smooth of speech and deceive you with their smooth speech. But not only in our day, it was so in the days of the New Testament, the days of the apostles. And that's why we have so much admonition, so much warning in the Scriptures concerning it. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 16. In the Apostle Paul, closing out his letter to the Romans, said in verse 18, "For they that are such those that walk contrary to the doctrine which they've received, which they've been taught. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ." They're not serving the Lord. "But their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple." Those deceivers that Paul is warning the Romans of. Those who are walking contrary to the doctrine which they received. Had to deal with that in my former pastorate. From a Sunday school teacher. The adult Sunday school teacher. And he knew that it was in direct opposition to what the pastor believed and in direct opposition to what the church believed. Contrary to the statement of faith. And he got up and he began his lesson with, "I would be remiss if I do not teach that which I believe. I know that it's contrary to my pastor. I know that it's contrary to this church." And they began to teach universal church doctrine. And we had to exclude him. Because he would not receive the reproof. He would not receive the admonition. We had to exclude him. These are the kind of charlatans that Paul is warning the Romans of. And he says they serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own belly. You see, this brother thought it was more important what he believed than what the church stood for. Praise God. Many years later, he came back and made that right, made an apology. Amen. Praise God. One long after that, the Lord took him home. The Lord took him home, you see. I just thank the Lord that he had opportunity to make it right before the Lord took him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look with me here at verse 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." This was in the day of the Corinthians, in the day of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. There were those deceivers that came and made themselves look like the apostles of Christ. But they were deceivers. They had not the doctrine of Christ. And they were great deceivers. He said, of such, beware. Beware. And he said, goes on and says, "And no marvel at that, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You see, Satan can work upon men, his angels, his demons, to perform his bidding and transform themselves into ministers of light, ministers of Christ. It was in their day, and how much more so in the day and time in which we live and walk. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And, of course, if you know anything about this chapter, you know that it's a warning against perilous times. Perilous times are about to come and the conditions that will prevail at that time. But look at verse 13, what he says after he says all that will prevail at the troublesome times that are to come. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But evil men and seducers, those deceivers that seduce, this is all important. This is why you're not to be children any longer, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the flight and cunning craftiness of those who lie in wait to deceive. Last of all, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 5. And Peter getting ready to close out, or is closing out his first letter to the strangers which are scattered abroad upon persecution. And he says this in verse 8 of chapter 5. "Be sober." That is, be of a sound mind. Be calm and collected. Be vigilant. That is, to give watch and give strict attention to. Why? Why must I have a calm and a collected in spirit and temperament mind of that nature? Why must I give strict attention to, pay attention to? Well, listen to what he has to say. "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He's looking to seek and to devour you. He's going to find you out and he's going to devour you.
I'm no match for him. Pray God that you're not, that he's not no match for you. But it's only by the grace of God that you'll stand.
Amen.
That's why we're given the admonition in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Take heed, lest you think you stand. Take heed, lest you think you stand. Oh, I'm better than them Israelites. That's the example that he used there. The Israelites and how they were deceived and how they fell into idolatry and sin
And then he says, take heed. Let a man think he standeth. But God, who is faithful, will not cause you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. But will the way make a way of escape therefrom? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. By being steadfast in the faith, you're able to resist Satan. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. As we submit to God, be steadfast in the faith. Be strong. Be firm in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, all of us are faced with the same things. The same enemy is out there. It's so important that we be not children, just milk fed, that are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and the slight and cunning craftiness of men. But that we be steadfast in the faith. Grow. As we said last week, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a responsibility of every Christian, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially you that are members of the Lord's church. You see, we are to be steadfast, he said. Steadfast in the faith. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, a verse you hear me refer to quite often. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And of course he's talking about when the Lord comes, and these bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll have a new body, because the natural, the corruptible, cannot inherit the incorruptible. So we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus Christ has overcome Satan. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death in the grave. He says in verse 58, Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, we must be laboring in the Lord. And it's hard for a child to do any labor. See, that's why it's necessary to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through grace and growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to perform tasks, laboring for the Lord, becoming teachers, preachers of the gospel to those that are without Christ. Book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians was one of the examples I wanted to use this morning, and I skipped right over it when I got done with the Romans as far as it is works and grace. And Galatians was one of the examples I wanted to use, because the book of Galatians is an admonishment against the works for salvation. There's no mixture of works and grace for salvation. You see, there is a mixture of grace and works. Grace first, and the works because grace has come to us, you see, which gives evidence of a new life in Christ Jesus. But not because we're saved, not for salvation, but because we are saved. But he tells this to the Galatians in the fifth chapter in verse 1 then. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, now some deceived brethren may say, well, see, I have liberty. I have liberty to do anything I want to do. No, you don't have liberty to do anything you want to do. That's not the liberty he's talking about here. He's talking about the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, the liberty that we have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ apart from works for salvation. You see, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the faith, wherewith Christ hath made us free. You see, he's made us free how? Through faith in his shed blood. Stand fast in that. That's what he's telling them. Stand fast in that. Not in your works. Not in the rite of circumcision, which they were trying, the Jews that were saved in the Galatian churches were trying to impose upon the Galatians. But stand fast in the grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Philippians. Book of Philippians chapter 4. In verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Well, here's one of the ways, I can't think of a better way to stand fast. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any moral excellence, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What is he telling us to think on? He's telling us to think on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all of that. You see, in fact, he's the only one. Don't look to this man here. Don't look to this preacher. I'm liable to lay you down. I do. I sin. But look, think upon Jesus Christ. Amen. Think upon him. He's the one that is true. He's the one that is honest. He's the one that is just. He's the one that is pure. He's the one that is lovely. In him he's the one that is of good report. In him we find moral excellence. You see, you won't find it. You won't find it in me. You won't find it in Brother Ron. But you'll find it in Jesus Christ. Think on him. Oh, and when we do that, you know what? We'll stand fast in the Lord. We'll be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 2 John. 2 John. Chapter 1. Right? 2 John. The only way I could mess this one up is if I got 3 John. Then I might mess that one up. 2 John, chapter 1. Verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady. Well, there's a lot of supposition is true of that lady. I don't have a problem. You know, churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are referred to as the elect lady. You see, because they're the elect within the elect. Oh, some people despise that term. Even those who believe in the doctrine of election, they despise the term the elect within the elect, though. But that's what it is. He's speaking to the Elect lady, he's speaking to a church. We're not told just what church. There's some supposition as to what church that may have been. And he said, now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee. That's nothing new. But that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. After His commandments. After the Word of God. Applying it to our lives. Church. Applying it to their lives. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. No problem there, huh? We ought to walk in love. Love and mercy. What we're commanded to do. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You see, they're deceivers. Thus, be no more children. Children are apt to be tossed to and fro and believe those deceivers through their cunning craftiness and their smooth speech. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. In other words, take heed, beware. They're there. They'll try to deceive you. They'll try to take you away, and boy, they're smooth in their operations. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Listen, the Jehovah's Witness, don't receive them in your house. In fact, you're best not even to talk with them. Just send them on their way. And don't say, God bless you, because that makes you partakers of their evil deeds. You see. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And there are many others. I said Jehovah's Witness, but the Mormon. And others, you see. So, a need to grow on. Need that we grow up. Need that we be able and ready to eat meat and to digest it. And you'll find that meat to be glorious and wonderful. I mean, it'll be like filet mignon. It's cooked just right. You know, or maybe a good spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes or something like that. You know, whatever you find good and flavorful and tender, you see, it'll be good. It excites you. Me, just give me a fat, juicy hamburger. Yeah, give me the Word. Get into the Word. Study it. Oh, let me tell you something about studying the Word. It's labor. And the older I get, the more labor it seems to get. And therefore, prayer is necessary. Boy, you know, every time I sat down and struggle the most in studying the Word of God, lo and behold, I didn't pray. And then I'll pray and ask for God to give me understanding and wisdom of His Word. And boy, things go much easier after I've prayed over it. I say, thank you, Lord. Forgive me of my foolishness. Sitting down thinking that I could understand your word without your help, without your aid. You see, we need to continue in the doctrine of Christ, continue in truth. Let me say something here. I hope by now you've come to realize that the doctrine of Christ involves church truth. For that's the body of Christ. It's the doctrine of Christ. You see, we must continue in the doctrine of Christ. We must continue in the truth. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word. You got that? This is Jesus speaking. If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. But these believing Jews here, it is made evident in what follows that they were not really believing Jews. They did not really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unto the saving of their soul. It was just a fancy with them. Might we say that it was like seed that fell upon stony ground, and it sprung up, but the sun came out and it died quickly because it had no root, because it was founded upon stony ground. Turn with me to the 15th chapter. 15th chapter in verse 9, where he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. Jesus said to His church, continue in My love. What's it mean to continue in His love? We said in chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. So what was He telling them? Continue in My word. Continue doing My word. Acts chapter 2. And what do we find? We find these men that Jesus was speaking to, His early church in the book of John in chapter 15. We find they got the message. They got the message. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And you know by now, that from it, when apostles' doctrine, whose doctrine was it? It was the doctrine of Christ. It was the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they were continuing, the apostles and the early church, as it grew by 3,000 that day, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, His teaching. Turn with me, last of all, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23, and we're instructed by the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, whereof I Seth and made a minister. Whereof you as members of the Lord's church, the Lord's body, you're made preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us continue in it. Let us be steadfast in it. You see, we mentioned the church truth is part of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Well, they have to be saved. They have to understand the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Before they can understand church truth. They understand the gospel. They ought to desire to unite to, well, unite with the Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Identify with Him. And then we, as they come into the church assembly, the responsibility falls upon us, falls upon each one of us, to teach them the all things, which included with that is continue the doctrine of Christ. You see, I learned a long time ago that all of this is the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
You see, and it most definitely includes the glorious truth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop there this afternoon. Next week we'll go on with verse 15. It tells us, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Shall we be dismissed in word of prayer?